When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, DFW. It is Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Phantom. RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Chris Strong in for Peyton. Caitlin is here. Sean with a medical issue for his children. One of his
he's dealing with that. He's got a medical appointment today for one of the children.
So he'll be back tomorrow. I know he is did not want to miss the Jerry interview, but after last night's game, maybe he does want to miss the Jerry interview. So
I think he wants to miss me today.
He really, boy, I'll tell you, but folks, Bobby's on one today. He is angry, and I said, "What are you so mad about?" He goes, "I just want that bleeping bleep to get fired," and I was like, "He will at the end of the year," and he was said, "No, I mean Peyton." He's mad that Peyton is missing work today because Peyton worked the night game. So he's Bobby is so mad. He threw a sandwich across the room. Now it's okay.
We don't have to pull back the curtain all the way. This isn't AT&T Stadium. Slow down there.
They don't have curtains.
That's true.
They have. They just don't use them. Stars lose last night. They get doubled up by Anaheim. 4-2 at the American Airlines Center. There's a fresh Spits and Suds podcast, Bobby, out recapping the game. Power play woes, Jason Robertson struggles, and more. The Spits and Suds podcast, find it 105throughthefan.com.
Yeah, it was a slow start. Gave up 2 goals in the first period. Fell behind 3-0. Cost the Stars. It's tough.
You fall losing behind 2-0 in the first. It's a problem. You know, it's just the way it is.
San Jose on Wednesday night.
Okay, I'm going to a game. Is it next week? Thanksgiving week?
Yes, you're going on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, Wednesday game. I still got to get tickets, but I'm going to go.
Yeah, because you're scheduled to be on Peace-a-thon.
I'll be on Peace-a-thon that night, 5:00. But let's cheer you up a little bit here. We're going to try to make light of the, we do Ask Reddit at 7:40. Okay, so that's going to be fun. And let's talk about, actually a good team in the state of Texas, and that is the Texas Longhorn football team and your college football kegger.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
All right, so I was looking around at some bracket projections because tonight at 6 o'clock will be the next release of the college football playoff rankings. And I got a good friend of mine who goes by the name of CFB Matrix, at CFB Matrix on Twitter. Name is Dave.
That's not his name, though.
No,
right?
His name is Dave Bartu. Awesome dude. Mm-hmm. All right. He has got one of the best formulas. He got all the information from the committee over a decade ago, and he has a computer program, and he has been nails. I think in the last 10 years, he's gotten one team wrong in the rankings, in the playoff rankings. So when it was a 4-teamer and now this, he's gotten like one team off. He's phenomenal at it. This is his ranking for this week. Oregon at 1.
Okay.
We expect that. Ohio State at 2.
Fair.
Texas at 3.
Okay.
Penn State at 4. Indiana 5.
Ooh.
Notre Dame 6. Miami 7. Bama. Ole Miss. Georgia, Tennessee, BYU, SMU, and then Boise at 14 and A&M at 15.
Of course, 13 for SMU. That's not going to make SMU fans happy.
No, but SMU, it doesn't matter where they are. Their path is clear. Win out and you're in.
Yes.
Their path is very clear. Shoot, man, it might be win out and you get a bye.
Could be.
Right? I mean, yeah. All they got, because if they beat Miami, they're going to stay ahead of Boise. Now, what? The only one would be is if Army beats Notre Dame and Army goes undefeated, that win over Notre Dame might vault Army.
What would happen with Indiana if they beat Ohio State? Are they number two?
Yeah. Well, they'd be number two, but they'd probably be number five overall.
No, I know. I'm saying, would they be number two in the CFP next week if they beat Ohio State?
Yes, I think so.
Because they wouldn't jump over Oregon.
They would not jump over Oregon. I don't believe. I don't think they would.
But they probably would jump Texas and Penn State because they're obviously undefeated.
Uh-huh.
But a lot of people felt like Indiana's not played
right.
A schedule worthy of.
Correct. You
know, it's just like when Pittsburgh was undefeated recently, and people are like, yeah, but it's...
But who they play.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I do think that would happen. Indiana would jump Ohio State. Obviously, if they beat Ohio State, they're going to jump them. Because Ohio State,
but jump Penn State and Texas, get up to two.
Yeah, you'd be 11-0. They would get the number two. So you'd have two 11-0 teams. Now, they would play each other in the Big Ten Championship, but then it wouldn't matter. Like, both teams are going to wind up making it at that point anyway. So that's one thing. Now, Indiana, they're a 14.5-point dog to Ohio State. A couple of things he said to me stood out. One, he said, if Indiana loses by double digits or more, like, you know, not or more, by 14 or more,
yeah,
they may drop right out of the play of the standings altogether.
Yeah.
Because they haven't played anybody. The other thing he said is watch out what happens to Texas. If they lose to A&M by 10 or more,
which won't.
I don't think is going to happen.
No.
But if they did, he thinks they would drop out completely.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Because they don't have a top 25 win. I think they only have one win over a team with a winning record, which is Vandy. And a Power 5 team.
Yeah, one SEC team.
Right. One SEC. But does Michigan have a winning record?
I think Michigan's above 500. Let me look.
So it would be one top 25 win. And he thinks that would drop them out completely because then you would have a two-loss Texas team and Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, and Tennessee would all have a stronger top win than Texas would. And now, look, those things could change. What if Ole Miss loses?
I know they are 5-5. I thought they were 5-4, but
yeah,
they're 5-5 in Michigan.
Obviously, Ole Miss has to go to Florida. Tennessee has to go to Vandy. Alabama still has to play Auburn, which obviously it's nothing, but you never know. So there are opportunities for these teams to lose again, but we'll see what winds up happening. And then interesting that he didn't have Colorado in the top 15 because a lot of people project Colorado could be moving up. So that's just one, but it's to me, the most respected that there is out there. College football kicker here on 105.3
The Fan. Yeah. I mean, that's going to be the expected outcome. I think we all feel like this is settled into an area where you can kind of project out where this, like, as much as it's going to upset SMU, I think everybody kind of is anticipating where SMU is going to be, and it's probably going to be behind BYU and Tennessee, even
right.
though BYU lost and Tennessee is lost another game, and SMU feels like they've got a case to be above it. I think everybody realizes that's not going to happen tonight. The CFP is going to have them.
It's not going to happen, you know, because now listen, they might be ahead of BYU because BYU doesn't have any like elite wins.
I don't think they will be.
I don't think they will be either.
I think that's right. I think SMU and BYU will be touching. Like they'll be right there next to each other.
Absolutely. And you know, like, I mean, I think anybody reasonable could say that, okay, SMU's not, would not be ranked ahead of those two loss SEC teams or shouldn't even.
SMU would probably not be, I mean, Any given Saturday,
anything can happen.
But SMU's probably not beating Georgia, Ole Miss, Bama, Texas. Like, they're probably not beating those teams.
No, they're not. Now, the interesting thing is going to be also how they factor in Ole Miss versus Tennessee. Both have a good home win, Georgia and Bama. Both have a bad loss, Arkansas and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. You know, how do you differentiate between the two? Ole Miss, though, does have a win over LSU, which looks better than Tennessee's win over Oklahoma. So, Ole Miss lost LSU.
Mm-hmm.
No. Yeah, they did. So, but they do have another secondary good win that Tennessee doesn't necessarily have.
I miss the BCS. Is what this tells me.
You would be the only one to say that.
This tells me how much I miss the BCS. I don't genuinely miss the BCS, but you know what I'm saying. Yeah. The BCS, I feel like, generally got it right.
They did.
We generally agreed with the BCS. There was a time or two where we didn't, and I wouldn't ask for the system back. But I am saying, at the end of the day, how many times did it really get it wrong? They got mad. People get mad at the BCS because you'd get stuff like, oh, a two-loss Florida State team would be above an undefeated whatever team. But that's it. It generally got the title game right, I feel like.
We didn't give this shout out to I Win Google Me guy yesterday.
Kurt Cignetti.
But he signed a contract extension. For all those who were hoping that he was going to be one and done in Indiana because he was going to use that as a stepping stone and go to USC or whatever when Lincoln Riley gets fired. He is staying. He got a contract extension in Hoosierville.
Yeah, and this is either a brilliant move from him or a dumb move from him, because it's a great move to get that contract done before Ohio State kicks your ass this weekend. Or it's a dumb move because if you go out there and beat Ohio State and all of a sudden you're one of these top four in the CFP, you might have been able to just write your own check. It could have been blank check for Kurt Cignetti over there.
Could have been. Now I got to see what his buyout is on this. He may have negotiated a low buyout.
He deserves a ton of credit for
backing up.
The arrogance, we mocked him so bad, and it's still in the open, and it's still a funny quote, but I had to Google him when he said, "I win, Google me." Well, I understand why you have to say that, because nobody knew who you were, and we had to Google you, but now he's been proven right. He's backed all of his S-talking up.
Yep.
So I apologize. I was not familiar with your game.
It's amazing. He absolutely backed it up. I mean, because, you know, he is winning. Like, he took a lot of players from James Madison. He is winning at Indiana basically with half of James Madison's team.
Like
a handful of players.
It's like Dan Quinn going to Washington, taking all your depth and having success.
I mean, depth is a major part of defense, right? Mm-hmm. It is. Maybe we have a reunion on the horizon. Lincoln is on the hot seat at OU. Brett Venables on the hot seat at Lincoln's on the hot seat at USC. Venables on the hot seat at OU. What are the chances that OU would take him back?
Oh, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But
it'd be funny to be. It would be fun to talk about.
I mean, does Lincoln need the Cliff Kingsbury arc here? Does he need to just step away, be one of these the consultant for a year?
Used to be the Nick Saban rehabilitation school.
Yeah,
he would just rehab coaches that, you know, Lane Kiffin, Sark, Bill O'Brien, all these guys rolled through there, right? They had lost their jobs coaching, and they go to his, you know, his coaching rehab facility.
Don't call it rehab. You mean as a coach, Sark? Okay, got it.
Jeez, Bobby. God.
That's pretty dramatic there, Nick.
Yeah, that's pretty dramatic there, Robert. My gosh. Yes, so the coaching rehab center. I do think maybe that is something that Lincoln does, because they got the new chancellor or new AD coming in who didn't hire him, and who knows what's going to wind up happening. But those two are squarely on the hot seat.
Maybe Lincoln Riley will be your head coach here, or he'll be your offensive coordinator. Ooh, would you take that? Would you take Vrabel here as the head coach with Lincoln Riley as the offensive coordinator?
Yeah,
I could be sold on that.
I could down with that. Is Vrabel, does he like to punt on fourth down?
We would let Lincoln Riley call the offense.
Well, but Vrabel calls the...
We would let Lincoln Riley determine if we're going to go for it on fourth down.
Then I'm in.
All right.
Then I'm in. Sounds like a great idea.
Sold.
Sounds like a great idea to me. All right. Took a little bit of break there. Took a little break from Cowboys. We're going to get right back into it. Into the NFL. We got Ask Reddit during the commercial-free expressway. We got some coaching rumors and perhaps some coaching candidates.
We do. We have a new list of the top coaching candidates in the NFL. Over 100 names.
This goes to show you how bad the Cowboys coaching staff is right now.
And not one of those 100 names is an assistant coach on your Dallas Cowboys. That's next on 105 Through the Fan.
Good.
back, and there's a good pickup block by Dowdle. He throws.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's an interception to the 30-yard line. Ball sailed on him, and Ferguson runs Derek Stingley, the cornerback, out of bounds, and it's turnover for turnover.
Ooh, what an awful, awful day out there at AT&T Stadium. It is the commercial-free expressway. I'm RJ Choppy. It's Bobby Belt, Chris Strong in for Peyton, Caitlin alongside. Sean is out, medical appointment for one of his kiddos today, so he'll be back tomorrow. Jerry Jones coming up a little more than an hour from now. We're already getting the questions ready, Roberto, to ask Big Jerry coming up at 8:30 here on The Fan. We've got a Justin Timberlake ticket giveaway this half hour.
You just said we're getting our questions ready for Jerry. Should we just lead off with, should we go, hey, Jerry, why?
Why? Yeah.
Take that however you like. Take that however you want. Answer it any direction you want. Just why? What would you say the answer to why is right now?
It's like one of those sociology tests you took in college. Like they would just ask you some random question like why, and the answer is just why not.
Sure, yeah. Or like the Rorschach test where you just show it like them an ink
blob. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I see a flower. So when I say why, whatever you see, give me the answer to whatever why would mean to you.
Yep, there you go.
Going to do that, Sean.
We're not.
If you're listening in the car, we're not going to do that. I think Sean is slightly concerned about not being here today for this.
No, I mean, it's an interview.
No, I know. I just think he's slightly concerned about me.
Oh. Oh, look, I mean, I love what you got going on today.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, Bobby's on one today. Bobby is angry at the world.
Yeah, just in general.
He's like angry.
Where's the egg on this McGriddle?
And it's mainly directed at Peyton Russell. That is why.
And the McGriddle that they messed up at McDonald's.
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt about that one. All right, Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. But by the way, you know, a lot of people ask me about this, and we hate the rule, and I hate the rule, too. The 4 personal fouls that the Cowboys had got offset by 1 from the Texans. That doesn't – I'm sorry. That doesn't jive with me. Yeah. That doesn't work. And it doesn't matter who it's on. If the Texans had the 4 personal fouls and the Cowboys had 1, I don't think they should offset either.
Yeah, the one and the one should offset.
Yeah.
But should they be triple
no.
penalized for the extra three?
I mean, maybe.
Okay.
Don't they tack on? If there's a personal foul at the end of a play, they tack it on.
Right, but if you have two personal fouls on the same team, you only get to accept one.
Right.
You don't get 30 yards.
Yeah, you only get to accept one. Okay. So, but yeah, I think that, you know, offsetting should be 1-1. Maybe I'm just crazy on
no,
that one.
I don't think so. I think you're right.
So, I don't know. All right, so you had mentioned this, that the Cowboys and the Cowboys coaching staff, we know it is what it is. It's not a great coach staff.
I think there's some good coaches on it.
There are good coaches on it, but it's not like it's an elite coach.
No, but I think Linda Wells is a good coach at tight end. I think Scott Tolzien is I think he's a good coach from what you talk to people, the quarterback's coach. I think Robert Prince is a good coach. I think Al Harris is a really good coach. So there are all those aspects of it that you feel good about with this Cowboys coaching staff. But then you get a list like this, which you can have a good assistant coach. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're head coach material, which is what I think you want in your assistant coaches usually.
Yeah,
right?
That's true. And to be fair, this team did have Dan Quinn last year, who got a head coaching job, and sure. then Kellen Moore a year before that, who has had no problem finding work.
Yeah, but I think that would speak to the issue of why then didn't you move on from your coach after last year to ensure you keep that you make that assistant coach who's now in running for coach of the year.
Well, I mean, you would have to think that Dan is a better head coach than Mike, and
he looks like
history says he's not.
The last decade says he is.
I don't know about that. Dan lost his job in Atlanta.
And Dan's been to a Super Bowl in the last decade.
Mike actually won a Super Bowl.
Not in the last decade.
No, but he actually won one.
Like, but, I mean, Mike loves to reference things from 1994 with his offense and with other things. So
Dan thinks he's hip with a backwards hat.
Yeah, he is. He's hip.
Listen, let me tell you something about Dan. Dan Quinn's winning because of Jaden Daniels.
Ooh, disagree.
You can disagree all you want.
More
his defense stinks.
If you want to say he's winning more, you don't think culture matters at all? The way he's instilled and changed that entire...
I think quarterbacks are your culture.
I think the offense is really good. I don't even know if the quarterback's played really well. The quarterback recently has not played
well. No, not recently. And recently they've kind of just... The shine's come off.
A little bit. But I mean, they're getting the most out of that team right now.
They are getting a lot out of that team. There's no doubt about that. And look, Dan deserves credit for that. But I believe more of the credit goes to Jaden.
Well,
and like, to be fair, like, Dan's side of the ball stinks.
Well, again, he is setting a tone and he's turning a building that was so toxic, no matter who you ran through there for the last 25 years, he's turned it into an optimistic workplace that's getting the most out of it. But Connor Orr over at Sports Illustrated every year comes out with this list, and it's the top NFL head coaching candidates for 2025 and well beyond. So he takes the top coaches for the upcoming cycle, the guys who are getting the most buzz, the guys who executives around the league are talking, you know, positively about. And then he's got the guys that, hey, this person's not going to be in the 2025 cycle, but this is a name that right now people are saying they're on a path or they could eventually become a head coach. And on this list, they provided 109 names. 109 names. That's a lot.
109 names.
There's 32 teams in the NFL.
Well, three a team.
There's a couple of college coaches in here. Like, there's Dion's in here, but not many at all. But generally, you should expect about three teams. I think out of currently employed NFL head coaches currently employed NFL coaches, there were 102 out of the 109. Mm-hmm. And the Dallas Cowboys had zero names on this coaching list. Not a single one. Now, should Al Harris be included on there? A lot of people like Al Harris.
That surprised me that he isn't.
And he's not. Now, here's the deal. You are the only team in the NFL that doesn't have at least one coach on the list. New England has one. New Orleans has one. Everybody else outside of those three teams right there has two or more. And you're sitting here with nothing. That basically, you are the only team in the NFL that doesn't have a legitimate future head coach, at least in perception. Doesn't have a legitimate future head coaching candidate on your assistant coaching staff.
Which I would disagree with because of Al.
Is Al going to get that buzz? I mean, Al's a good coach, but I don't know if some people
109 names. I mean,
why there's the answer right there. We've talked about, like, what do you gain from moving on from Mike? See what Al Harris can do.
That's fine.
Let him audition for the job for the last
time. I have no problem with that. I mean, if you were going to move on from Mike and say you wanted to do, let's say this team wants to bring Bill in next year, then what you do is you hire Bill as a consultant right now and you let him evaluate the team.
I'll tell you what's kind of fascinating about this list. Obviously, Detroit is a really impressive coaching staff, right? And
Detroit,
so they have six assistant coaches on this list.
Of course they do.
That's a positive. Okay, that makes sense. What was fascinating to me is the number of bad teams that had a lot of names on this list. Carolina has six coaches on this list.
That's just an unknown, right?
Maybe part of it, but isn't some of the Dallas unknown?
Zimmer's not an unknown.
Give me the team with the
Schottenheimer's not an unknown.
Give me the team with the most candidates on this list.
I would assume it's Detroit with six.
Seven.
San Fran?
No, it's a team with a winning record, but it's still not a team that I don't think would jump to mind, typically.
Tampa.
No, you were closer when you said San Francisco.
Rams?
No.
Seattle?
Nope. You guessed every team in that division other than the one that it
Arizona?
Is.
Arizona?
Jonathan Gannon's Arizona Cardinals have seven candidates
Good
on this
them.
List. So that's the thing that's frustrating is, are you building... Let's get real. There's a thought from some... I think even within Cowboys circles, mm-hmm. that Mike McCarthy has not built up a really talented coaching staff because he doesn't want somebody over his shoulder, potentially.
I mean, he wouldn't be the first to have that insecurity.
But that's a problem.
Uh-huh.
You're not establishing a pipeline, or you're not giving your team the best chance to succeed with assistant coaches out of your own insecurities. That's a problem.
That is a problem.
That's a toxic problem.
My pushback on that is,
yeah,
he didn't. I mean, he had Dan Quinn here.
That hire was not his, but yeah.
But I mean, if you're the head coach, you could push back on it.
I think he had his own ideas, and it didn't.
I mean, obviously, you wanted Mike Nolan, which is his guy, and I have no problem with that. You got guys that you're comfortable with. Or that you want to coach with, and how many coaching jobs are given because of favors anyway?
Sure, but you're the only team in the NFL that hasn't established this pipeline according to this list.
Correct, but again, they had it because Kellen and Dan, they had that.
Kellen,
did they have others?
Kellen before Mike, so Kellen was before Mike, and Dan Quinn was realistically hired by the Joneses,
which, you know. Do we have a problem with the front office hiring coaches?
No, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I don't either. It's the general. It's people think it's. The head coach's team.
I don't think Mike McCarthy wanted Zimmer here.
Oh, you don't?
Uh-uh.
Well, he may have been right on that one.
Yeah, but not for the right reasons. They were for the wrong reasons. I think it was that's somebody who's coached before and that the Jones is like.
Yeah. And is that why? But now, was that higher for the right reasons then? Because they liked him and they had coached him before.
No,
it's the same thing as Mike Nolan. It's the same thing with Mike bringing.
But I think there's a better idea of. Look, I'll be honest. Do you think Zimmer's done a bad job coaching since the bye? I think Zimmer's made good adjustments. They're losing games, but there's only so much the defense can do when there's short fields and some of the other stuff. Yesterday, there were short fields and there was the fumble return for a touchdown. Philly, they kept them competitive. Like, I don't think the defense is doing different things since the bye week.
It's getting better.
And they've made adjustments. Yeah, and they've had injuries the entire year. They didn't have Jordan Lewis and Deron Bland yesterday.
Right.
There's no reason Houston shouldn't have put up 50.
The defense has gotten better, which was to be expected, right? Early on in the year, new DC, communication problems.
Really complicated scheme.
Yeah, they had that. And it's gotten better. That was to be expected. You know, they were 3-2 with a terrible defense. Then they went on this five-game losing streak, and you can't blame it on the injury to the quarterback because they lost the first, you know, 2.5 games with Dak Prescott.
Sure,
they were not going to. They weren't going to beat Atlanta if Dak stayed in the game. I don't think it was still close.
Probably not. Yeah,
still close, but I don't think they were going to beat Atlanta.
Let's take a look at since. Dallas is in all likelihood going to need to hire a head coach this offseason. Let's take a look at the top candidates, according to Connor Orr. So he's got his list of 109, like we just mentioned, the different coaching candidates. But these are the ones that he says are the top ones for this upcoming coaching cycle. And Chop, I had mentioned this a couple weeks ago, the idea of, like, are we that excited about what this coaching cycle could bring in terms of potential names to Dallas? So you tell me if any of these names do it for you. Bill Belichick, former head coach of the New England Patriots.
I would not want him. Now, if they are going to get him, look, I don't want him to be anywhere near personnel, but I do think if you're going to do that with him, I would like to bring him in the building now. Bring him in the building now. Let him evaluate the players up close as a consultant, air quotes.
Sure. Joe Brady, offensive coordinator of the Buffalo
Bills.
I love Joe
Brady. Love Joe Brady.
He had the shine come off of him a little bit.
Yeah, he went to Carolina with Matt Rhule.
Yeah. And then that kind of, that he was on a trajectory. I wonder if that's the pairing in Cincinnati, if Zach Taylor gets fired, though, is put Joe Brady back with Burrow.
Yeah, if I were him, I'd have taken that job.
Liam Cohen, the offensive coordinator with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. He was somebody who has gotten a lot of credit for helping along with, goodness, what's the guy who went to Carolina now? Who's the head coach there?
Dave Canales.
Canales, yeah. Canales and Cohen have both been credited with helping Baker Mayfield stabilize his career a little bit. So the idea of Cohen coming in here and working with Dak Prescott, head coach, that do anything for you?
I don't know enough about him.
Defensive coaches, you're kind of out on, right?
Not necessarily.
Elijah Evero, the defensive coordinator from the Panthers, is somebody who's been on the list for several years. Young coach. Brian Flores. Is he too old school? Crack skulls for you?
Kind of. But then again, wouldn't Vrabel be too old school crack skulls then? Is Dan Campbell crack skulls?
Dan Campbell's bite kneecaps. That's different.
Yeah.
We're being tough together. Flores gets accused of turning it like being toxic. That was the Tua issue.
Man, I don't want anybody that's going to... I don't want that.
Here's another name. A former Dallas Cowboy, Aaron Glenn, defensive coordinator of the Detroit Lions.
I like Aaron Glenn a lot.
That's one who I think would be a guy... I think former player is an interesting route to go because I think the league is moving in that direction.
I agree. They are. Well, there's two directions. You're either going to get a young, hotshot offensive coordinator or you're going to get a former player.
Or a retread.
Or a retread, which we
Doug
do.
Doug Peterson's going to end up being the head coach.
You know that's a possibility.
I know it is. That's why I'm kind of chuckling. Marvin Lewis or Doug Peterson. Which one would upset you more?
Doug Peterson. Marvin Lewis. Well, actually, you know what? They both would. Doug has had a higher ceiling, obviously. I mean, Doug won a Super Bowl.
Doug's been in the league more recently. Like, Marvin Lewis has not actively been coaching the league.
7 years he's been in the league, right? 6 years.
Yeah. Ben Johnson, another name. That you like. Vance Joseph.
Vance is going to get another chance.
He's had a lot of success as the defensive coordinator with the Broncos.
Yep, Vance is going to get another chance.
Cliff Kingsbury. Has he learned enough from his CEO management issues in Arizona?
He has never won anywhere. Like, but doesn't that matter?
He's done a really good job with Washington's offense this year.
Yeah, I'd be out.
Todd Monken, offensive coordinator of the Ravens.
I would entertain that.
And he's somebody who's gotten a ton of credit for leveling up Lamar Jackson and helping Lamar Jackson reach more of his potential. Does this one sting at all when you talk about the hot head coaching candidates? Kellen Moore, offensive coordinator, Philadelphia Eagles.
I mean, he was a head coaching candidate when he was here.
Would you welcome him?
Sure.
Would you be okay if he was hired?
I had no problem with Kellen.
Josh McCown, the quarterback's coach in Minnesota, who a lot of people feel like has done a good job bringing Sam Darnold along.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I like offensive guys in general, but
Matt Nagy.
No.
You don't want an Andy Reid disciple?
No. I want Patrick Mahomes. That's what I want.
Here's one that I think is really fascinating given what you've had to say about him recently. And he has not gotten the buzz of being a head coaching candidate in a long time. Steve Spagnuolo.
I like Spags.
Is he a Wade Phillips though?
I think he's Wade. I think this is also his NFL. Right now.
Yeah, that makes some sense. All right, a couple more names that are on this list. Mike Vrabel, currently a consultant with the Cleveland Browns.
Fine.
Arthur Smith, offensive coordinator of the Steelers, because of the type of offense he runs?
Absolutely not.
Bobby Slowick, is the shine off of him too much from Houston? Or do you still think, no, that's...
I think it's fine. Yeah, I don't think there's a problem with that.
Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator for the Falcons.
I don't know anything about him.
So he comes from, again, he comes from the McVay staff. He's somebody who worked closely with Slowick. They came along at the same time. And he's gotten credit for, you know, helping Cousins to play within himself. He's gotten a lot of credit for, now that Arthur Smith has been gone, kind of jump starting Bijan Robinson's time and getting the most out of Drake London and Kyle Pitts. And he's thought of as somebody who knows how to jump start offense.
Here's my take on that. And this is, and before we do Ask Reddit here next, a lot of times people are enamored with getting somebody who is connected to the genius. I just want I want the genius. I don't want somebody connected to them.
It's going to be tough to get the genius.
I know. That's the problem. Everyone's looking for that.
And then one more name for you here. Robert Saleh.
I like Robert.
Robert Saleh is going to be...
I like Robert. I have no problem. I don't think Robert was the problem with the Jets. I don't think necessarily it was the solution.
Do you think experience with the Woody Johnson, Aaron Rodgers setup prepares him to come to Dallas potentially?
If you ain't got no haters, you ain't popping. That's all I got to say about
that. Give him 11 little kisses.
That's right.
I wouldn't hire him just because of that.
I mean, I don't know. I like Robert, though. I think Robert's a fine coach. All right. We got the Justin Timberlake ticket giveaway coming up in a little bit. But first, let's ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you? 877-881-1053.
877-881-1053.
Go ahead.
Uh-huh. Franklin Frankel, Injury Attorneys fan text.
By the way, I just want to let everybody know that this happens every time Sean's out. Nobody sends anything. Nobody sends any work. Nobody sends any prep. Nobody sends any questions. The Ask Reddit questions.
You never read the Ask Reddit questions in advance.
How do you know? You
don't because.
Know. You don't know.
Whenever
don't know
I ask you, you go,
You don't know what I do. You don't know what I do. I didn't say I wanted to read them. I just said I wanted to have, you know what I mean? I just say it. It's another thing. It happens. Go ahead. Do your ask, whatever.
I've got it. And we're going to have Chris Strong weigh in for us.
All right.
And in fact, we're going to let Chris talk a lot more than Peyton because he actually showed up today. All right, Choppy.
Yeah.
As somebody who's quit smoking.
I have.
What addiction is the hardest to quit?
Smoking.
Was it difficult for you?
Actually, no.
Did you do patches? Did you do cold turkey? What was it?
I got COVID. And it was December 22nd, 2021. And I got COVID, and I never had another one. And I never had any interest in having another one.
Yeah, move on.
And now, what was that? What was that?
That was a DAC drop. Oh. Yeah, move on.
So, look, it was funny. I was showing, Sarah had never seen the Charlie Sheen interview with, CBS or whatever that was, the winning. Never, she had never seen that before.
I have one level. Go.
Yeah. And when I showed it to her, and I was like, this is me, because in that, she says, how do you know you're not going to relapse? She's like, I'm just not going to. I just put it away. I said, no, I'm not. I'm done. That's how it was. That's me. I'm not going to. If I want to stop something, I'll stop it. I just never wanted to stop enough. I never tried to quit. The moment I quit, I quit. It was simple. Addiction is hard. Because I was addicted to cigarettes, like I was. There was times where I was a pack a day, but it just stopped.
I'll tell you the one that I will never be able to quit, no matter how hard I try to. Let me cut back on caffeine. I can't operate without caffeine.
You know, if I don't have coffee for a day, I get a headache.
Yeah, you get the caffeine headache because it's almost like your system is asking you for it. Chris, what would you say is the addiction that is hardest to quit?
I agree with you on caffeine 100% because every time I fill in on the morning show, I need a Celsius and I just can't. I can't do anything without it.
You would be a Celsius guy with that nose ring.
but I mean, I'll level with you guys. I have a poker addiction.
Really?
And yeah. Texas Hold'em, like going up to Choctaw is maybe the too convenient. Just going up Central for 45 minutes. It's a problem for me.
I had no idea. Wow, like, I would not have thought of Chris as being a big Texas Hold'em guy.
Are you a sunglasses guy when you play?
Yeah, sunglasses and my hat, like my ball hat. Yeah, so, and I'm with Dawson on this one because I know he's a big poker lover too, but when the World Series of Poker is going on in Vegas,
absolutely.
I watch every tourney and go play up in Choctaw a lot. Yep.
I did that. I used to do that every weekend. I would go to Windstar and play. And this is like, you know, obviously you're running out of money.
Yeah.
That's a problem.
972, hardest addiction to give up. Having multiple women. Several answers.
A lot of people saying opioids are heroin. And I'm like, well, yeah.
I mean, I quit it. I mean, several people on here saying sugar, too. Obviously, we know it's like heroin and something like that. But this is more, I think, just like what kind of vice that you have.
Yeah, we're not talking. Yeah, we're not talking hard street drugs.
Yeah, I'm not trying to compare me wanting a C4 to somebody like I need heroin to not feel sick in the morning. Yeah. Clearly, I thought that went without note. But yeah, that's fair. That is that. We're doing Ask Greta here on 105 through the Fan 877-881-1053 877-881-1053. A Justin Timberlake ticket giveaway coming up, and Jerry Jones next hour. Chop. What's a red flag in a TV show that tells you it's about to go downhill? The jump the shark moment is such. I can tell you what mine is easy. When you tell me when you have an episode or a storyline or whatever else that it's like this killed off character, they were never killed off.
Yeah,
we faked their death. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Your show's stupid. That tells me your show's dumb. That was The Blacklist. They kept fake killing people off.
Yeah, and then so that's one. Sopranos tinkered with. They never did it. Spoiler alert.
They Brady tinkered with it.
But Big P, Bup and Cero, everybody wondered, is he really dead? Is he really dead? And it's just that's it. I think another one is when they start having to resort to a ton of guest characters.
Oh,
big name
guest
characters. It's like, all right, that show's about to happen.
I like this answer on the text. Villain decay. When a villain loses so many times in a row, you can't take them seriously anymore. That's true. Whenever you
villain decay.
Yeah, whenever you can't start, you can't take the villain seriously anymore because they just you've always set it up to they lose. Like at some point, Wile E. Coyote has to win.
Yeah, I agree.
You know what? And if he doesn't, that's it. Chris, what's your answer here on this one?
I think when things get too extreme in a TV show, like I think of it as the alien movie effect. When you have one alien, it's scarier than when you see the alien at the start of the movie and they become 20 aliens, 40 aliens. It just becomes overwhelming and you're not scared by it anymore. So
817, when they change the narrative so the story becomes a social commentary to tell it. Let's see here. What else is that? Can't do that one. 817, when it has to be narrated. Ooh, that's interesting. So when you hear narration, do you think this is a show that's going downhill? Is that a red flag? Narration? Like, are you trying to over...
No.
Are you having to explain things with narration that you can't just get across with your story because your show's weak? It's not bad. 817, when Kevin Costner leaves, you know it's going downhill. By the way, Kristen is very upset at Kevin Costner. The more interviews she hears of him talking about why he left Yellowstone or talking about it.
He had so much going on.
She thinks he's handling it kind of like a jackass a little bit. Ask Greta here on 105 through the Fan. Chris Strong. And I'm going to ask you this question first so that Choppy has an FCC-friendly answer for it. But this is I'm just going to ask the question the way it was posed on Ask Greta. What's the most disgusting thing you've ever had in your mouth?
Oh, God. Well, I mean, whenever I cursed as a kid, like my mom just definitely... like made me hurt for it. Like put soap, a bar of soap in my mouth.
Olive.
And it wasn't like a clean bar of soap either. It was like soap with like hair on it and like body hair.
Oh. What the hell's wrong with your mom?
It was like the bathtub bar of soap. So that felt disgusting to me.
Oh my gosh. That is
disgusting.
Yeah, that is so gross.
I don't have to worry about the dump button because I've gotten all those bad words like out of me.
God. Oh my gosh, that's disgusting. Olives, just straight olives. That's the most disgusting thing I've had in my mouth. They're nasty, dude.
So I picked up a drink. It was a Gatorade bottle and it had the cap on it. I picked it up and I thought it was mine. I drank it.
Somebody peed in it?
No, somebody's used Zin or whatever. This is a couple months ago.
Oh, they're like spitting it in there.
It was slimy and gross. I also, somebody put their cigarette butt out in my beer one time and I drank it and their cigarette butt came in my mouth. So a few things, but Yeah, the Zin was the worst because it was slimy. It felt like it was a it felt like an oyster. It felt like a giant booger. Just sloogie. Just
wave your hand when you're done talking. I'm literally covering my ears, awful. So I can't hear you.
Done. I'm done.
Okay, thank God. Oh my gosh. That gave me flashbacks too. Like you talked about, my dad used to put his cigarettes out in like Coke cans. Yeah. Like he'd get to the end of it and he'd drop it in there. And I thought it was mine. And I picked up a Pepsi and oh my gosh, that's still the most disgusting thing I've ever tasted. A couple of the answers on the fan text over here. 214, pickled okra. 903, beer is disgusting. I don't blame anybody who doesn't like the taste of beer. Somebody used to tell me it's an acquired taste. It's like,
Yeah, okay, listen. If you don't like the taste of beer, I'm not going to kill you. If you don't like the taste of Mexican beer, you and I have a problem.
It is.
There is not a Mexican beer that I do not like. I love them all.
Like, if you don't like a Modelo with, like, a little bit of lime.
I was about to say that.
A little bit of lime on it, too.
You know what?
I was about to say, that's the one I don't like.
I don't even like the lime in it. Like, I just take a drink Corona, Modelo.
Modelo's skunky.
I don't drink any of them with lime. Just not straight, because that's what Dom Toretto did in Fast and Furious. Just straight Coronas, baby.
903, I opened a fish oil capsule in my mouth.
Oh, God.
That sounds pretty disgusting.
Boy, the burp on those is the worst, too. That's almost as bad as barbecue burps.
This is a good one for you, Chop. What could you give a 40-minute presentation on with absolutely no notes or preparation?
A 40-minute
the first half of the Tarleton game?
Not.
You did it.
I did. Boy, I could BS with the best of them at times.
That's what I think. Like, this is a good one for you to figure out. What do you think you could just nail for 40 minutes to talk about if you didn't have any notes or anything in front of you?
I mean,
QC Kinetics.
No.
I think if you gave me 40 minutes to talk about Super Bowl history or some NFL history thing, I could probably do it without notes. I think my recollection of a lot of it is, or just that, take the Jerry Jones era Cowboys. Mm. I could give you a oral history of them.
Yeah, I mean, I could probably do something on, you know what? I bet
Fast
you
and Furious.
Youth sports.
Oh, that's interesting. Like a like just an overview of the structure of youth athletics.
What is wrong with youth athletics? Why golf is the most frustrating game in the world?
For some people.
For some people. Why they should not expand the NCAA tournament.
Oh, you don't want it anymore? Would you downsize it?
No, I wouldn't downsize it. I think it's fine where it is.
Okay.
I think it's fine where it is, but
do you like the play-ins?
I don't hate them. I got no problem with them. Yeah, I think they're fine.
Okay, that's fair. Chris, what do you got here?
So I recently went on a movie marathon of Martin Scorsese's movies because, no joke, the only Scorsese film I'd seen before a week ago was, with Leonardo DiCaprio. Wolf of Wall Street. Wolf of Wall Street.
I was going to say, that narrows down the Scorsese-Leonardo DiCaprio film.
Yeah, like eight of them.
Yeah, but I watched
New York.
Yeah, I watched Goodfellas, After Hours, Taxi Driver.
Oh, look at you.
A dozen Scorsese films. So I could probably talk about all that for 40 minutes.
My goodness. Wow, so you you hadn't seen Goodfellas or any of the...
No.
I like Scorsese. I also think that maybe a little overrated.
I think Goodfellas is wildly overrated.
Last one here really quickly. Chris Strong, we'll start with you. What show did you watch as a child that you definitely should not have been watching?
Well, like Cartoon Network at 10 p.m. always transitioned to Adult Swim for kids my age. And they always had Family Guy, King of the Hill, that sort of show on. So it wasn't terrible, but it was definitely something that kind of spooked me as a kid.
The older I've gotten and I've watched old episodes of Frasier, boy, there was a lot of adult humor in it that, like, I mean, it was said in their... Why did they sound British, both of them, when they absolutely were not?
They're sophisticated.
But, man, there were jokes in there where I was just like, as I've seen as adults, like, oh, I should not have been watching this. That was actually a really aggressive thing they just said there. Chop, what show should you have not watched? All in the Family? Three's Company?
I did not watch All in the Family as a kid. I'll tell you this. I don't think, based on what my kids know at the same age, I don't think there's anything I shouldn't have watched. I should have been watching more.
Dude, they are exposed stuff now.
But I did watch Married with Children very, very young. Beverly Hills 90210. Probably like, 10 years old? You know, I probably shouldn't have been watching those. But again, based on what my kids watch, Ren and Stimpy. is another one I probably shouldn't have watched.
Joy.
The fan text people were saying I could probably talk about the JFK assassination for 40 minutes. I might be able
to. Could do that, I bet. JFK yeah. theories?
There all you go. The JFK theories. All right, good stuff. Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. Let's hook you up.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Caller number 10 right now at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets to the Justin Timberlake concert on Friday, December 6th at the AAC. That's caller number 10 at 877-881-1053.
Jerry Jones coming up at 8:30, but what in the heck? The ceiling is the roof. The sky is falling. What happened at AT&T Stadium yesterday? Plus, why we are stuck with Cowboys-Bengals on Monday night in a couple of weeks. It's the 8 o'clock hour with Jerry Jones coming up next here on 105 Through the Fan. We'll get you over to Zoom.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.